Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Lots of texts in about absolutely celebrating our birthdays. For the last 10 years, a texter tells me, I've been taking my birthday off work and I go golfing on my own. Then I have a quiet pint in a pub and read the paper. Peace and quiet all day. Love it. The wife doesn't know I do this and keeps on saying I should take my birthday off work. Paul, you're rumbled. You're on the radio now. And then on the 90s, Dublin was cool in the 90s. It was. The Commitments movie filled us with pride. Also, you two were the biggest band in the world at the time. I think along with Italian 90, there was a sense of youth, pride and excitement about the country. Thank you for that text. It was. That's a really good description of Dublin in the 90s. Now, also, I just want to mention about next week. Important to say, in very exciting news, Oliver will be jetting back from his halls directly to Rathenska, County Leash, for his first live show from the National Ploughing Championships this weekend, September 18th. That's quite a rumble that I couldn't pronounce the name of that town, and forgive me, but it's the National Ploughing, as you know, everybody knows, in County Leash next week. Early ploughing revellers are invited to pop by the RTE tent and join Oliver and his special guests for all the fun and glamour of ploughing for what will be a super fun live show. And if you can't make the ploughing, of course, be sure and listen in as usual from 9 to 10. Now, I have not one, but two tour guides on the line. One is going to be talking about the Boyne Valley and its connection to the famous Camino, and the other is going to tell us all about Ireland's not so well known creation myth. Dusty Flanagan and Anthony Murphy. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good morning,
Brendan. How are you? Thanks so much for joining me. Now, you are just two of the many guides hosting walks and tours as part of the Boyne Valley Trails Walking Festival, which takes place from this Sunday, the 15th, to the 22nd of September, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Make sure we got that in there. That's why you're talking to me this morning. Dusty, give us a quick overview. I had a look at, by the way, the website's stunning. Whoever did your website, congratulations. Boyne Valley Trails.
Yeah, Boyne Valley Trails. This week, I suppose, we start with 17 different events from the 15th to the 22nd. So lots of guides, lots of activities, a huge range of outdoor events. To bring people to the Boyne Valley, you know, Boyne Valley is known obviously for Tara and Slane and the Passage Graves. But if you come back towards Drogheda, you have Mellifont, you've Monaster Boyce, you've got that lovely riverside walk, and there's so many castles and big estates to explore, and so many different types of outdoor events like Nordic walking that we do. So, you know, we're trying to bring that all under one roof.
So I'm reading here, that, like, as you said, whiskey walks, walks around the big house, the Bewley's estate. I didn't know that was there, actually. That's interesting.
Yeah, Bewley Estate and Barmead Castle. Yeah, yeah. So they kindly give us access for the festival to explore the estate and the garden. So it's really, really special.
And just while we're on that as well, there's something for everyone. Children's walks to mural walks, walks at local historians, the people of, people interested in ancient history. The Boyne Valley has it all, right?
Yeah, I think Drogheda really is, it's probably, you know, it's a great place to come and walk because you have got, the streetscape medieval, you've got some beautiful Georgian buildings. Of course, you have the river running through it. And it was once two different towns. So, you know, Brendan Matthews, a historian from the town, will tell us all these stories and kind of explore the hidden gems of Drogheda. So it's easy to get to. You know, you've got the M1, you can get there in an hour from Dublin, and you've got, of course, the Enterprise from Belfast. So it's a really easy place to get to.
And you've been instrumental in getting a section of the Boyne Valley marked as part, it's called the Celtic Camino. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I suppose being a huge revival in Camino. I suppose every year about 10,000 Irish people will make a visit to Spain to complete a Camino in some stage. And they usually do the French way and the Portuguese way. But around 2016, there was a whole retracing of all the Irish routes that led to Spain back in the Middle Ages. So from Dingle, from Dublin, from Galway and Drogheda. So we've been researching that. And they've been revived, and those ancient routes now are accessible to walk. And you can walk 25 kilometres in Ireland and then go to the city of A Coruña and complete your 75 kilometres to Santiago. And that's kind of been reflected in the Camino Voyage movie. with on TG Car. If you have a look at that, that'll kind of tell the story of the journey from Ireland to A Coruña.
That's fascinating. So we're talking of pilgrims left in the 12th century for the Camino.
They did, yeah. And of course, up to the Reformation, then those pilgrimages would have stopped. They would have gone by sailing boat. It would have taken 10 days. It would have been a hazardous journey. And, we've got research through a book by Bernadette Cunningham of the journeys that were made. You know, these fascinating journeys that people left their homes in Ireland, went to Spain, went to Santiago, and then returned. So, we're just reviving that. And the Boyne Valley Camino, that 25 kilometre that we have in the Boyne Valley, is part officially now of the Spanish Camino.
That's wonderful. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And I love a hike now. I love a nice long walk. And I love the idea of this. It's a 25K loop. So you don't have to do the whole thing. So it's in the figure of eight. Is that correct?
That's correct. And yeah, and of course, you have a lovely halfway point at Tully Allen Village or Old Bridge, you know, the Battle of the Boyne site, you know, so you can actually make it out there for one day and then continue, go back out there the next day, park at the Battle of the Boyne site, make your way to the beautiful Mellifont Abbey and do it the second half, you know. So we've had lots of TY transition year students do it. We've had Gashka, we've had lots of charities do it. So it's been a huge resource for Drogheda and the Boyne Valley.
So you're selling it really well, I have to say. And I just want to say as well, you can download the map for free from your website, correct? And if you don't want to do the whole Camino, you could just take part in small parts of the Boyne Valley Trail. Give us some of the wonders walkers can take in on the Boyne Valley Trail.
So I suppose when you start in Drogheda, you're starting at St. Peter's Church. And of course, lots of people were traumatised as kids when they used to come and see the head of Oliver Plunkett. So that's where you start, and hopefully they'll come back and see where they've been on school tours. And you walk along, you go through you go on the north side of the river, and you'll go to Townley Hall Forest, which is Cuilcha. So you'll have lots of peace and quiet there. You'll obviously pass the Battle of the Boyne site. So if you're interested in history, you know, you're going through that area where King Billy, was the camp. He'd actually passed through the camp. And then Mellifont Abbey, the first Cistercian monastery in Ireland, which is fantastic. Not that well visited, but it's open for visitors. So that will be the halfway point. And of course, along the way, you can collect your stamps. We've got local artists designing stamps. And you can, you can get your passport stamp if you want to do that. Or you can just go for recreation with your kids, or just go, just for the physical activity.
Amazing. So Anthony's on the line as well. Anthony, you're going to be bringing people on some of the tours around the ancient sites. Your take is the mythology associated with them. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, living in Drogheda, of course, we are in the heartland of, ancient Irish mythology. Within a 10-minute drive of Drogheda, you've got Newgrange and Nowth and Douth, the Brunabonia complex. Within a 25-minute drive, you have the Hill of Tara, the seat of the High Kings. We are in the area of Ireland that has the richest mythology. We're in County Louth, of course, which is very strongly associated with the god Lu, after whom the county is named. And then, his son Cú Chulainn and the Táin, a lot of the action of that takes place in Louth. So I have actually two tours The Myths and Legends of Brunabonia, which takes place on Sunday. And we're going to basically walk from the Brunabonia Visitor Centre to the three great monuments along the public roads. We're going to go to Douth and then Nowth and then to Newgrange and talk specifically about the myths and legends associated with those. Then on Monday, I'm leading a walk through Drogheda about the myths and legends of Drogheda, because a lot of people living here don't realise that there's actually a rich abundance of mythology and folklore in the immediate hinterland of Drogheda. And of course, a lot of that's associated with the Boyne River. And then on Sunday the 22nd, which is the last day of the festival, I have the myths and legends of the Hill of Tara. And of course, there's lots and lots there.
You won't
believe
this.
So much that you
just
have to curtail it.
You just sparked a memory, Anthony. It was mid lockdown and I had a big birthday and I stayed in, I think it's called Trim Castle, for a night, and we just got it on Airbnb, and I got up and I watched the sunrise on Tara Hill for my 50th birthday. And it was
lovely.
And there was a lot of other people there enjoying the sunrise. It was magical.
Was that midsummer? Was it?
Yes. Yeah. June is my birthday.
Yeah, a lot of people gather at Tara on the longest day of the year. Yeah, fabulous.
It was just amazing. I just remember that now. Actually, yeah. Now, and the mythology of Ireland is kind of linked to paganism in some ways in how we tell the stories, isn't it? And I'm fascinated with that world. So, where you live in the country, it is probably one of the richest part of the country for mythology, isn't it? As you said, why is that?
Well, because of the monuments. Well, those monuments, you see, sparked a great interest in later people's, people coming to the Boyne Valley over the centuries since those monuments are over 5,000 years old. People coming to settle here and live here in later times kind of wondered at them and said, wow, look at those huge monuments, and made stories about them. But in my own written work, because I've published 10 books about the Boyne Valley and its ancient history and mythology, I would say that some of the mythology actually goes all the way back to prehistory and all the way back to the Stone Age. You mentioned at the outset about the creation myth of the Boyne. So we've lots and lots of fairly well-known myths and legends. Lots of your viewers will be familiar with the Children of Lear and the Salmon of Knowledge. The Salmon of Knowledge was caught within sight of Knowth and Newgrange in the Bend of the Boyne. But more obscure stuff that you'd have to dig deeper for into the old manuscripts. And a peculiar one about a monster, a great beast that came along and licked up or drank up all the water of the River Boyne until it was a dry river valley. Now, this monster is described as being like a hydra-like or a snake-like or a centipede-like monster.
This is the creation myth you're describing now, right? Just to be clear.
Yes.
Go on.
Yeah.
Go on.
It had 140 legs and 4 heads. And there's 2 different versions of the story in terms of how it was killed. But in one version, the men of Ireland dragged the monster to Newgrange and slaughtered it on a stone there called the Lech Ben. And they dismembered it. They chopped it up into pieces and threw its pieces into the River Boyne, where they floated down along the river and created different landscape features. So, for instance, the shin bone of the monster, it's Colpha in Irish, formed the river estuary, which today is known as Inverculpa in Irish. But here's the fascinating thing, especially for your listeners in Dublin. The rib cage of the monster went out down along the Boyne, out into the Irish Sea, floated down along the coast, went into the River Liffey and formed the ford that became known as Ó Cliath. Now, the Ó Cliath sometimes is described as the ford of the hurdles.
Yes.
But in this case, the ford of the rib cage. So the monster being killed at Newgrange in the Boyne, part of it floated down and formed the, according to this myth, formed the ford of the ribcage, Ó Cliath. So basically, Dublin's old Irish name comes from a creation myth associated with the Boyne. The reason we know it's a creation myth is because all around the world in creation mythology, we have this theme of a monster or a god or a giant being dismembered, being killed and dismembered, and its pieces of its body forming the new cosmos, as it were, forming the landscape, forming the sky and the earth, forming the rivers and the seas.
Wow. And I'm reading here the monster was called Mata. Great name.
Mata. I always say M-A-Father-T-A, which sounds like the root word for mother, Maher. And I always say it must have been the mother of all monsters.
Yes. 4 heads and a million legs. Listen, how are these these myths recorded? And where do you get all this information from? Is it passed down? Is it word of mouth? Are there any, you know...
No, so that's what I would call folklore, the stuff that has survived orally into modern times. Believe it or not, Dusty mentioned the Cistercians, but a lot of our ostensibly pagan myths were actually written down by church scribes, ecclesiastical scribes based in the monasteries of Middle Ages Ireland, fascinatingly. And the reason they survive today is largely down to them and the translations of them. I mean, so they're extant in various manuscripts held by Trinity College and the Royal Irish Academy and the Bodleian Library in Oxford and various other places around Ireland, Britain and Europe, and have been translated in more modern times in the past couple of centuries by, you know, very, very adept philologists and translators. So the only reason we have them is because they were written down, because, of course, Ireland was an entirely oral culture right through until the 20th century, which is the century in which the majority of Irish people learned to read and write, because up until then, almost everything was oral, passed down from word by word of mouth, you know.
Anthony, you're so passionate about it, and obviously you live, breathe and eat this stuff, but I definitely feel there's a resurgence and interest in mythology and paganism, even from my own other work that I do. We did a load of research into paganism, the culture of the, you know, respecting the land, acknowledging the seasons, all that kind of stuff. Do you think there's a renewed interest in this area now?
Absolutely, 100%. I've been studying and writing for 25 years. In that time, I've seen a huge increase of interest in ancient sites, in the sacredness of those sites, in mythology, in Irish language, in Irish music and culture. A huge number of people now are interested compared to a generation ago. I mean, I left school in the early 1990s, we were educated by the Christian Brothers. We were taught Greek and Roman mythology. We did not know when we left school that Ireland's corpus, as it were, of mythology was at least equal to that of the classical world. You know, we were in the dark, so to speak. Mm. And now that, well, especially with the internet and social media, and of course my own website, mythicalireland.com, thought I'd get a plug in there. You know, we're able now to disseminate that information much more broadly and widely than we were able to do 25 years ago, you know.
You're selling it so well. I'm just going to, Justy, just to remind people how they can book these walks and trips, because some of them are sold out already. Is that right?
They are. The Camino is sold out and a couple others are sold out. And of course, there's a couple of new ones this year, really. Nordic walking. Have you heard that, Brendan? Where
you mentioned,
you know,
that
you use walking poles, and it's a great workout for the whole body. So they say it's going to be the cheapest gym you ever join once you get the techniques. So Martina Farrell is doing that. So this if you go on to Boyne Valley Trails.ie, you have the 17 events, and you can just click into them. Have a look at the description, see if it suits you. There's ones there for kids. There's the long hikes, obviously. And you can just book them through BoyneValleyTrails.ie.
Listen, both of your passions is palpable. So thank you so much for taking our call. So BoyneValleyTrails.ie runs from Sunday the 15th to 22nd. And there's plenty of a trail still available to book for now. But for now, have a great weekend and thank you so much. Let's take a break.
Email oliver@rte.ie.